The message this morning is obey God's purpose for you. The text is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spirituals or spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were a hearing, where would the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. The point of the message is to indicate that no matter who you are, if you are in Christ, and you're a member of his body, he has particularly set you in the body and graced your life with purpose and with gifts that you might be a minister of his to those to whom he send you or those he send to you. Amen. So we cannot sit back on our laurels and say, I'm just visiting after 20 years. And we can't find where we fit in, or we ignore the fact that God has put a calling on our lives and somewhere at some time whispered into our spirits and hearts what we were supposed to be up and about for him. All these different gifts. The Holy Spirit is able to operate all of them through any individual he wants to, but he normally distributes them throughout the body. Amen? The Apostle Paul, in his discussion on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, shows the unity and the interdependent nature of the church in action. We are dependent upon each other. We need the grace gifts that God has given to us to serve one another. And just as you were praying for me to be healed, you know, I'm sure I'm well today because of your prayers. Today we find ourselves living in a nation struggling to survive on one hand and to divide on the other. Supposedly it is about the elections. Who was rightly elected and who was not? Who was ethical and who was not? Who stole it all and who tried? Consequently, yes. The kettle can't call what the skillet black. How did they put that? I don't know. But consequently, people are either blessed by the election results or burdened by them. I suggest that there are far more going on. There's far more going on than what really meets the eye. Compounded by the emotional knee-jerk reactions of people. There are what I believe to be organized forces at work that, if left unchecked and unresolved, would greatly disrupt the peace and security of our nation as a whole. I hold that there are those who are bent on insurrection no matter what party is in power. Maybe not since the Civil War has organized evil been so free to tear down and demoralize communities, cities, institutions, families, and the morals and mores of so many and so much. In America, in Israel, and the world, for all that matters. You have heard it said, deaf, blind, or what? Somehow, some people, no matter what they do, brings destruction and trouble. There's a clashing of worldviews, I believe, going on in our nation right now. With its mushed up feelings and its confusion and total disillusionment about it all. As Christians, how are we to view these days and how are we to use our time? Saints, our worldview and life agenda cannot be about you and me. If it is, then we have gotten in God's way. When it comes to Him fulfilling His purpose in your life and in mine, we have to get out of His way. We can't do our own thing. We can't be emotional about everything. We have to learn how to take some stuff we don't like. What has God called you to do? What is His revealed purpose for you? Amen. Because America needs you. Our world needs you. Amen. And it takes righteous people who can stand. And God has given you gifting for this generation, for this end time generation. It is a special calling to be placed on the planet by God for such a time as this. That He saw fit that you should come here in this time, and not in 1888, or 1620, or 1492. You had the privilege of refrigerators and televisions and all that good stuff. But you should know, you're not an accident. I don't care how you got in this world. God determined this was a time for you. It's time to stop, to suck it up. Get your face off the rug. We walk around drooped down and defeated. You know, we need to realize that we are conquerors and victors in Jesus Christ. We're only going to pass through this world once. We can suffer it once, can't we? Last Sunday, as my family as we were praying about vision and direction, I clearly heard the Lord say, obey my purpose. With no clarification, we concluded that at some point he had made it clear to each one of us what his purpose was for us. Because he didn't explain anything, he just said, obey my purpose. So not hearing any follow-up or clarification, I said, okay, I'm supposed to know what that is already. Yeah. And somehow, God lets us in on what he wills that we do. You can harden your heart, stiff arm the Holy Spirit, walk away from it, but you'll be accountable for it. God makes his purpose clear. And we each know what it was for each of us. Do you know what God's ministry call is for you? At some point he will, or he has already revealed his will and ministry purpose for your life. Do you have an inkling about what his purpose is for you? I have a sense that the Lord has given you a sense or a spiritual hint, if not an outright dream or visitation or vision or something, a feeling or desire. Today he's commanding his church to get on with the mission. There was a note of seriousness in his voice when he said, obey my purpose. So by the way, the Holy Spirit dealt with me as he dealt with me during that time. I realized it was just not a personal word, but a ministry word. God wants his church to be ready for something. You know, I can tell you something is up. It doesn't matter that, you know, we have a new party in power. Evil has no respect for either one. He might favor one over the other. You know, God is saying that he wants us to be aware and be prepared for what he wants us to do, what we are to be about. God wants his church to be ready. The alarm that was on one group of concerned voters before the election is now on the other group of concerned voters after the election. But I just want to say again that caution is warranted. We need to pray as much as now as we did before the election. The purpose of God for you and me, his church, is critical right now. As you can see, good and evil both are at work in our nation and in our world. You may not see the big picture right now, but God does. Can you trust him? Let him speak to you? He knows what the big picture is, and he's calling you, his church, to be a functioning member of his body. When we read about all those giftings there in the beginning of the chapter, those are functions of the Holy Spirit as he works them through us. And I've seen a many of people healed. I've seen a many of devils cast out. You know, and somebody like, where's they know? No. Anytime a male voice come out of a female, you better know that's a devil. I could tell you some stories. I'm always tempted to tell my stories. But I remember a Catholic lady came to see me. I'll tell one. And it's interesting sometimes when I'm sitting at my desk, and as I spin my desk around, either the devil will manifest or God will speak. And as I turned around, he started copying a plea. This voice coming out, male voice coming, this woman, I'm not going to hurt her. She wants me. I looked at him and I looked at the woman. I said, I'm speaking to the spirit. I said, if she wanted you, she wouldn't be here talking to me. I'm going to help her. I'm going to bless her. I say, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. She came back a few days later, brought me a gift of a silver tray, beautifully delivered, you know, walking free. I just want to let you know we are fighting principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in heavenly places. Amen. Are you armed for that? The God who is in you is capable of doing that. Discernment of spirits was one of the gifts, wasn't it? Gifts of healings. Study those. One of those may be you. And you're hiding it, sitting on it, won't deal with it. Or decided you're going to wait till 20 years and finish your career before you decide you're going to go work for Jesus. You are a functioning member of Christ's body. In 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 28, he said, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. You're in there somewhere. In 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 7, Paul writes, and I, brethren, could not even speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you still are not able, for you are still carnal. Where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Mere men. We're not mere men and women. Come on, you're not. I don't care what you tell yourself or what you want to believe. If you know Jesus Christ, you're not a mere. That's what Paul said. Quit acting like mere men. You are a spiritual being. Amen. There's a whole other body waiting for you. Hallelujah. Where was I? I fed you with milk and not with solid food. Did I do that? For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. Oh, yes, I did. I mean, I'm over 40 now, so I can do that. So if it's going on in your life and family, then it's going on among others when we are not knowledgeable or acknowledging the gifts that God has given us. And when we are hardening ourselves against those gifts, it's disruptive to what God wants to do for you and with you in his end time visitation to his church. It is time that we all go on to know the Lord, to know what his will is, to know the times we are in, and our assignment, what we ought to be about. The Lord's expectation is that his people will be spiritually minded in their understanding and practice of Christian life. The time is coming that people are going to be knocking on your door. Anybody who know who you are, amen? I believe there's a big movement of God coming upon this planet too. It's what the world needs to witness now. The Lord's expectation that he's put in you and what the revelation that's in your life. In verse 6 and 7 of 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, I planted, Paul watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. So note here that God is about increase. He is about bringing people into his kingdom. It's about the earth giving up and the church catching and disciplining and discipling souls for the kingdom. Verse 8 and 9. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So Paul says here, we are God's. We belong to him. For whom are you living? For whom are you working and building in your life? Yourself? What are you sowing? What are you watering? What are you cultivating in God's field? Is it anger, bitterness, selfishness, theft, deceitfulness? What are you growing in God's field, in your life, in your heart? What are you building on his foundation and on your life? The law of God automatically decrees a harvest. Something is growing in your field. Amen? Something is being built on the foundation of your life. It is with the superior stuff of gold, silver, precious stones, or the poor stuff of wood, straw, and stubble. You find out on 1 Corinthians, I think that's chapter 3. Are you building on the right foundation? Are you building at all? If so, what are you building with your life? Your heart, not your activity, is the right monitor. As your heart is, so is your life. So many today are hungry for God. They want to know him personally. They want to be assured of his reality, of his divinity, of his absolute ability to save their lives. And so the answer to their lives is the anointing of God that's in your life. Amen. Ephesians 2:5-6 says, but God has made us alive together with Christ and has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when you got saved, God placed you in his body, which was both spiritual, which has both spiritual and natural significance. Now, because of the souls of others, he has determined to visit this generation. I didn't know it was going to wear down so quickly. When you got saved, God placed in his body which has been spiritual and natural significance. Now, because of the souls of others, he has determined to visit this generation. A season of refreshing is coming from the Lord, and he's adamant about spiritually and supernaturally visiting this generation and about his body responding to the dictates of the head. He is the head of the body. Amen. We are the members. Amen. So if he says to you 3 o'clock in the morning, get up and pray, are you going to do it? Amen. Because you might be praying for someone of your own. Amen. It's been prophetically announced that his supernatural visitations and visions and miraculous manifestations that have been occurring around the world. How many of you are aware of that? You don't know there are amazing miracles and visitations from Jesus personally showing up in the lives of Chinese people, Iranians, and Arabs, you know, supernatural healings. Like right out of the book of Acts. Extraordinary stuff. And so some are saying that this has the sense of another awakening coming. And God had prophesied years ago. I used to always say to you there's going to be a great revival and an awakening either just before the rapture or right after it. You know why they're going to be filling up the churches after we're gone? There have been many who sit up in churches on Sundays who will be with there in that crowd too. That's why God wants us to get with it. Amen. So take these times seriously. Take your life seriously. It's not so much your work necessarily, but your how you live. Amen? You must consider that you are being called to the harvest field, that there is a particular role your Lord, your God, your head, intends for you to play. You should be asking him right now, Lord, what is it that you have purpose for me? What is it that you want me to do for your kingdom? If you have never asked that question, Lord, what am I good for? How am I to prepare for the end time gathering and of the harvest? Every person born in the world comes with a God potential. That is with a divine purpose in your life. You owe it to your head to know him and to seek his purpose. Boy, I might not be doing this so well today because of my weariness, but I know God is after you. Amen. He has divine purpose that he's invested in you. And he's saying to you today, get with it. Be up and about your Father's business. Because somebody, it's the way, you know, God is, you know, we talk about the multidimensionalities of God. And sometimes we think God, everything is linear, you know. But God sometimes works years in advance to prepare something for you that will come to you tomorrow. You know, and you'll be wondering why I don't have something now I'm supposed to be getting now because, you know, he's preparing you for it. I often sometimes tell the young ladies, you know, keep on praying. He's not ready for you yet. God's trying to fix him up. Amen. So, you know, we just need to know, we need to walk with God. He leads us through paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. And then right after that, you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. Whoa! As he leads you in paths of righteousness, he just connects you to a pathway through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, that's the training of faith because it's just a shadow for you. It looks like the real deal, but it's just a shadow for you. That's why you got to learn how to trust him in these little times so when the tough times come, it won't be so tough. There is something that God wants to accomplish with you in this church, and he's serious about it. Amen. You were specifically and specially chosen by God and individually placed in the body of Jesus Christ to function. So God is saying, get with it. Maybe that's the title, get with it. No, just obey God's purpose for you. Begin to seek him for whatever that is. Do you know what his purpose is for you? Do you want to know? How many of you really want to know and you don't know? Stand up then. We're going to pray.